of Psalms. Psalm chapter 15. I'm glad that you're with us today as we continue our series called Character Matters. We are in part three of a four-part series. In the first week, we talked about the forgotten virtue of honor. And while respect is something that is earned, honor is something that is given. And so we looked at the scripture to see what the Bible teaches about whom we are to show honor to. Last week, we looked at what the scripture teaches about loyalty. If you remember, sarcastic Jason showed up last week and helped establish the truth about loyalty. Loyalty is something that is proven, not proclaimed. If you missed any of those messages, you can go to our website. You might want to check them out. Next Sunday, we're going to deal with what I believe is one of the big problems in our society, and that is entitlement. Entitlement is the idea that the world owes us everything, and so many people today feel entitled. I've heard of the younger generation being referred to as the entitled generation. And so next week, we're going to look in detail what Scripture teaches about the virtue of gratitude. This morning, we're going to turn our focus on one of the most important virtues to God, and that is the virtue of integrity. Everybody say integrity. Integrity. Let me share with you a story that I think illustrates how important this issue is. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I went into a convenience store, and I paid the cashier, and she mistakenly gave me more money back than she was supposed to. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I got back in the car and I'm putting the change in my wallet and I realized that she had made a mistake. She had given me more money than she was supposed to. And my first thought was, man, God is so cool. God is so awesome. I'm just keeping it real this morning, just being honest with you. But she had given me back too much money and I realized, you know, I need to go back and I need to return the money to her. And so I walked back in and I said, ma'am, you gave me more change than I was due. And immediately her countenance changed. Her eyes began to well up with tears, and the woman said, oh my gosh, she said, I can't believe that you brought the money back. She said, I can't believe it. She said, thank you so much. This means so much to me. Thank you for doing the right thing. And she went on and on, and so I said, look, it's really not that big of a deal. It's just the right thing to do. Here's the money. And she said, you don't have any idea. She came around the counter, and she said, do you mind if I hug you? And you know what? It's just a couple bucks. It's not that big of a deal. I'm not sure where this is going, but I said, sure. And so she gave me a hug, and she is overwhelmed with gratitude. And she just kept saying, I can't believe you brought it back. And finally, she explained her story. This wasn't an isolated issue, but this woman had given more change back on a number of occasions. She had continued making this mistake. First, her supervisor had warned her. I think then they went to her and said, look, if you're short at the end of the day, you're going to have to pay that out of your pocket. And so she had done that. And evidently, it had reached the point where she was told, if you do this one more time, you're going to lose your job. And the woman said, I'm a single mom, and I can't afford to lose this job. The only thing that I could say was, I'm just glad that I was able to help. And as I was walking out the door, once again, she said, I just can't believe you brought the money back. And you know, church, I think it's tragic that we live in a world where people are more shocked by integrity than they are a lack of integrity. You know, that's tragic, right? It's tragic when people are more shocked by someone who does the right thing than they are by someone who doesn't do the right thing. And why is that? You can tune into the news almost every single day and you'll hear story after story involving a lack of integrity. It might be an athlete who everyone loved and respected, and people concluded, look, this is not only a great athlete, but this is a great person. And then we learn this person has a separate life and that no one knew about. And suddenly we think, well, here it goes again. I'm shocked. It could be a politician that said one thing and then lived totally different. It could be a Christian leader. It could be a pastor. It could be a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, who said one thing and then had this double life going on. And church, it happens. It happens over and over again. It might be a close friend, someone that you thought you knew, someone that you loved, someone who represented one thing, and then they live totally different. And we quickly come to the conclusion it happened again. We know all too well about this lack of integrity. Let's start this morning with a working definition. What is integrity? Integrity is when your behavior matches your belief. Integrity involves an integrated life. It's when what you say lines up with what you do. It's when your private life matches your public life. Integrity is what you do when no one else is looking. Understand, integrity is different than your reputation. Your reputation is who other people think you are, but your integrity or your lack of integrity, that's who you really are. It's different than your reputation. Integrity is when your behavior lines up with your belief. Proverbs 11:3, I love this verse. It says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." Wouldn't you agree that so many segments of society today, they are being destroyed? They're destroyed by the duplicity of leaders or organizations that claim one thing and yet they do something else. Church, it's tragic when people are more shocked by integrity than they are by a lack of integrity. This forgotten virtue, it is so important above all else. My wife and I, we want to be people of integrity. And one of the characters in the scripture in the Old Testament, one of my favorite is Samuel. And you can read about his story in 1 Samuel 12. I love this. And this is what I want my life to be about. Basically, at the end of his life, Samuel stood before his community. And he asked this question. He says, "Have I lived a life of integrity?" Samuel said, "Look, if I've wronged any of you, tell me what I did wrong and I will make it right. Have I done anything that was not right according to what I said I would do?" And his community, they said, "No, you've done the right thing. Samuel, you are a person of integrity." And at the end of his life, they said, "Samuel, you have been a faithful man of God." And church, I will tell you this morning, more than anything else, I want at the end of my ministry, I want at the end of my life to be able to ask, "Did I do what I claimed to do?" And some of you might answer and say, "Well, we didn't really like you." And some of you say, "Your dog jokes were stupid. Didn't care for those." You might say, "I didn't like your style." But you know what I hope that you would be able to say is that I was a person of integrity. That your behavior matched your beliefs. This morning, we're going to look at a picture of integrity from the Bible. If there's a passage of scripture that really captures this life of integrity, I believe it's Psalm 15. Where David asked God the question, "Who can dwell in the sanctuary of the Lord?" David said, "Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary?" Translation, "God, who can enjoy your continual presence? God, who can walk with you? Who can fellowship with you?" And God answers, saying, "Only the person who has integrity." Watch how this is explained. Psalm 15, beginning with verse 1. "Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary?" God answers, "He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous." That's integrity, church. "Who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue." Integrity. "Who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man. Who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord." Integrity. And I love this part. "Who keeps his oath even when it hurts." That's integrity. "Who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent." He who does these things, he who operates with integrity, will never be shaken. God answers David's question, saying that he who lives a life of integrity will never what? What did he say? He'll never be shaken. Never be shaken. Listen, friend, you will never be shaken when you live according to the beliefs and the teachings of Jesus Christ. You'll never be shaken when you operate with integrity. And for the next few moments, just let me share with you three benefits of the life of integrity. There are more, but these are three benefits of a life of integrity. The first one, if you're taking notes, is that you will walk closely with God. David said, "Who can dwell in the sanctuary of God?" And God responded, "He who has integrity." You know, one of the benefits of a life of integrity is that you can enjoy ongoing fellowship with a holy God. I think of it this way. My kids, if I impart to them my values, and if they live according to my family values, that certainly increases our closeness, our fellowship. But on the other hand, if I say, "Look, here's who we are as Brownings. These are the values. These are the things that are important. This is what we stand for." If my kids responded by saying, "We don't like your values, Dad. Forget your values. We're going to do our own thing. We're going to live by our own standards. We're going to do our own thing instead. We're going to live outside the family values." Now, if my kids responded that way, I'd still love my kids. But I can tell you that it would limit our fellowship. It would interrupt our fellowship. And friend, the same is true with God. When you live according to His values, you can walk with Him and you can enjoy His presence moment by moment. A second benefit is that you will possess continual peace in your heart. When I operate with integrity and I lay my head on my pillow at night, I don't have to worry, I hope no one finds out. When I lay down at night, I don't have to say, I hope I don't get caught. I don't have to think, I hope my boss doesn't find out what I did, because if I do, I'll lose my job. We don't have to think about that. We don't think about, what if I'm exposed for what I've been doing? Or what if my husband finds out I've been flirting with this guy at work? Or what if my wife discovers I've been looking at things that I shouldn't look at? Listen, friend, you don't have any of that when your behavior matches your beliefs. And instead of worry and anxiety, you experience God's peace. When you conduct, when your conduct matches what you confess, there is no fear of getting caught, no fear of being discovered. But let's flip this thing over and look at it from the other side. Do you know anyone who lays awake at night thinking, man, I hope nobody finds out I did the right thing today? Do you know anybody that does that? Man, I hope that nobody figures out that if they knew I did the right thing, it's going to cost me. Friend, you have constant peace when you do the right thing. A third benefit is that you can trust, respect, honor, and influence. When you live a life of integrity, you will gain trust and respect and honor and influence. Parents, please hear me this morning. If you want great children, then be a parent of integrity. Be a person whose word, it means something. Men, if you want to be a great leader for your family, if you want to be a great husband, then be a man of integrity. If you want influence in the business community, then be a person of your word. Listen, when you have integrity, people will follow you, and they will honor you, and they will listen. And I've learned that they will even seek your wisdom when you operate with integrity. But the challenge, as you know, is that so many people in our culture, they're not men and women of integrity. In fact, what is the opposite of integrity? Let me help you out. It's what non-Christians often say about Christians. Oh, those Christians, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. That's really the opposite of this idea of integrity. I believe it's the opposite. The Greek word translated as hypocrite, it literally means an actor. You might remember the Greek plays. It was really goofy to watch, but you would see a guy with a little stick with a mask attached to it. And then they would pull out another mask, and the same actor, he would pretend to be someone else. That same person, they would pretend to be multiple actors while hiding behind a mask. And church, wouldn't you agree that same thing is common in our world today? We represent this one person, but in reality, we're not who we say we are. Our walk doesn't match our talk. Our confession doesn't match our conduct. Our behavior often doesn't line up with our beliefs. And let's just call it what it is. We all have some hypocrisy that exists in our lives. All of us, at one point or another, we lack integrity, and it's hard for us to see it in ourselves. Sometimes we try to justify it in our own behaviors. And when we do, God hates it. When you read the Gospels, you discover that Jesus was much harder on hypocrites than he was on prostitutes and adulterers. For example, in Matthew 23, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said to the hypocrites, "Woe to you." Now, whenever Jesus says woe to you, basically what he's saying is you are in deep trouble. I mean, you are in the weeds when he says woe to you. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. And then in verse 28, he adds this, "So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Jesus addresses the play actors, and he calls out those who lack integrity. He speaks to those who look religious and righteous on the outside. He says, look, you're showing the outside to be clean, but the problem is with your heart. And the problem is that your heart is filthy with sin. And he goes on and he calls them blind Pharisees. He points out that they don't even see it. They're blind to their own hypocrisy. And so Jesus instructs them, first clean the inside of the cup, and then the outside will also be clean. Church, understand, integrity doesn't start from the outside in, but integrity starts from the inside out. Be pure on the inside. Jesus accuses the religious leaders of appearing righteous on the outside. They've got their masks on, but on the inside, they're full of hypocrisy, full of lawlessness. Woe to you who lack integrity. Woe to you who are full of hypocrisy. And friend, let's be honest. It's easy to do, isn't it? It's easy for us to put on the mask. It's easy for us to play the game while the inside of the cup is filthy before God. I want you to think about how your actions would answer this question. Here's the question. What is your integrity worth? Think about that. What is integrity worth to you? And don't answer by saying it's worth a lot. Don't answer by saying it's worth everything. No, what do your actions say that your integrity is worth? For example, let's say you lied on a resume to get a better job. Then your integrity is worth whatever that job paid. That's what your integrity is worth. You took your integrity and you're willing to trade it for some perceived benefit. That is what your integrity is worth. What is integrity worth to you? Maybe you embezzled something from your work. Maybe you took something small. You took a ream of paper from your office and you took it home to use on your personal computer. What does that mean? That means your integrity is worth the cost of that ream of paper. That's what it's worth to you. How would you answer that question? What is your integrity worth? Friend, your actions indicate what integrity is worth. Maybe you falsified an expense report. You took something that was a personal expense and you made it look like a business expense. If so, then that's what your integrity is worth. Maybe you're married and finances are tight, and so ladies, when you buy an outfit, you kind of hide it in the closet for a while. One lady told me, she said, I buy something new and I put it in the closet, in the back of the closet for 2 months. I get it out. My husband says, is that new? And she says, no, it's been in the closet for 2 months. Somebody said, that's a good idea. I think I'll try that. Well, you try that if that's what your integrity is worth. Some of you, you're in business, and occasionally you overbill just a little, but you do it because you know the client can afford it. Or maybe with your friends, you exaggerate a story so that you will be liked. Or maybe you tell your spouse you love and honor her, but you look at impure images. And maybe you're a student, and you're trying to get into to the right school. You've got a university that you're looking to go to, and you've got to keep your grades up. And so you cheat on an exam or on a paper just to keep your GPA where you think it needs to be. What is your integrity worth? Not just what you say, but friend, what does your life say that it's worth? There's a guy in the Old Testament. It's an interesting story about a guy named Job. And if you were to ask Job, what is your integrity worth? He would have answered and said, my integrity is worth more than life itself. But let me tell you his story. Satan was criticizing God's people. Satan said, God, you know, they don't really love you. These people, they're only faithful to you because you're so good to them. And God said, no, there are some who really love me. And Satan said, okay, show me. Show me just one. And God said, Job is full of integrity. Job is faithful to me. And so Satan asked God's permission to take a shot at Job to see if he really loved God. It's sort of odd, I don't know why, but God gave Satan permission. He said, go ahead, take your best shot at Job. And so Satan, he strips Job of all these things that really matter to him. He took his family, his kids away, his wife, his possessions, his health. Job's wife and his friends, they both turn on him. Job's wife said, why are you hanging on to your integrity? Job, why don't you just curse God and die? You're the biggest loser. I don't know why you're sticking with God. Job's friends chimed in and they said, Job, you know that you've done something wrong. Job, you need to, all these bad things, they wouldn't be happening to you if you were a person of integrity. Job, just quit claiming to be a person of integrity. And listen to how Job answers. Job 27 verses 5 and 6. He says, no matter what you say, I will not deny my integrity. I will maintain my righteousness and never let go of it. My conscience will not reproach me as long as I live. Job testifies. He says, look, guys, my integrity is worth everything to me. You can strip me of anything else, but you cannot take away my right to choose to honor God in every way that I live. Job said, my integrity is worth everything. Friend, what is your integrity worth? I've got a close relationship with my dad. We talk 5 or 6 times a week. He's was a successful businessman. He has been faithful to his family, been active in his church. There have been many, many things that my dad has taught me. But one of the things that my dad has taught me is this. He taught me that if you have integrity, that's all that matters. But he also taught me if you don't have integrity, then that's all that matters. And church, those words have always stuck with me. If you have integrity, that's all that matters. And if you don't have integrity, that's all that really matters. Friend, integrity is worth everything. Before we wrap this up, let's consider what we should do when we realize that we don't have integrity. But what do you do when you recognize that you lack integrity? Well, let me just highlight a few things that would be helpful. First of all, you get to know Jesus. That's the first thing I would suggest. Is get to know Jesus. I mean, truly get to know him, not from a distance, but learn more about him in the scriptures. Get to know Jesus personally. Because let me tell you, you will never live a life of integrity on your own. It just doesn't work that way. You cannot live a life of integrity on your own. And the reason is because you are bent towards sin. So the only way that you can do a life of integrity is to get to know Jesus personally, to allow the indwelling Christ through the presence of his Holy Spirit to lead you to do what is right. So you start by getting to know him. Let him live through you. And then secondly, I would suggest that you apologize to those whom you've misrepresented yourself to. Apologize and repent. Go to them and admit, you know, for the last however many years, I've not been true. I've lived a life of hypocrisy. And I want to ask you to forgive me. Ask for forgiveness. The truth is, they may not trust you for a while because trust is something that you have to rebuild. But friend, it's the right thing to do. And then thirdly, you start doing what Jesus said. Start doing what Christ said. Matthew 5:37, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Friend, you commit to becoming a person of your word as Christ lives through you. Let your behavior line up with your beliefs, but not just your beliefs. Let them line up to God's beliefs. And friend, when you do this, you will walk with God and you will possess peace with God and you will gain honor and trust and respect and influence from those around you. Friend, this is where we have to start. We take off the mask and bring the real you and let God work in your life because integrity really does matter. When you have integrity, that's all that really matters. And when you don't have integrity, don't kid yourself. Because friend, you're not going to have a good marriage. You're not going to be a good parent. You're not going to be a good friend. Why? Because if you don't have integrity, that's all that matters. It's tragic. It's tragic when the world is more shocked by integrity than they are by a lack of integrity. But as far as we're concerned, let us commit. Let us commit to not be that way. I pray that we would live an integrated life under the lordship of Christ, and that our behavior will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that it will line up with God's word. And I pray that with his help, we will live as people of integrity. Would you ask the Lord this morning, ask him to expose any pocket of your life where there exists a lack of integrity? Ask him to expose any area of hypocrisy. One of the things that I've noticed is that the closer I get to God, the more his light shines on my heart. And the more his light shines on my heart, the more darkness is revealed in my life. And for me, the closer I get to God, the more I see the hypocrisy in my own life. Today, rather than feeling guilty, rather than feeling like a loser, I want you to see this as an opportunity to bring another part of your life into alignment with Christ. God wants to reveal any area of your life that is not pure and clean and right. And so ask Him to show you. And if you're aware of a pocket of your life where there is a lack of integrity, then I would encourage you this morning just to confess that to God. Friend, His grace is greater than we could ever imagine. God promises that if we confess our sin, that He is faithful and just, that He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So ask Him this morning to forgive you for your hypocrisy. Ask Him to make you a person of integrity. For some of you this morning, you know that you're not a follower of Christ. As a teenager, I went to church some, and I did the church thing. The problem was that I had so many different masks that it wasn't even funny. I had the mask that I would wear around my friends who were athletes, and I had a mask that I would wear around my parents, and I had a mask that I wore when I went to church, and a mask that I wore when I went to school. And honestly, there was times I got confused. I couldn't remember which person I was supposed to be in the crowd that I was with. I lacked integrity. I was so full of hypocrisy. I tried to be a good person, but I realized that no matter how hard I tried, I could never quite get it together. I didn't realize that the Bible teaches that I was a sinner and that my sin separated me from God. I didn't know that there was no way that I could ever be good enough for God. Some of you this morning, you've just been playing that game. You've got the Christian mask on, but you're not truly a follower of Christ. You're not a disciple of Jesus. And I believe God brought you here today because He is pursuing you. You may feel that you're not good enough for Him, and the truth is you're right. You're not good enough for Him, and neither am I. But God wants all of your heart. And I wonder, do you have the integrity this morning to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I confess my sin to You. I want You to be Lord and Savior of my life. Friend, when you surrender your life to Christ, the One who died on a cross and rose again, when you call upon His name, He will forgive you, and He will transform you and make you new. Some of you this morning just need to say, yeah, that's me. Jesus, I'm ready to give my life to You. Save me so that I can be Yours. Invite Him to be Lord of your life as you place your life under His management. You know, the Bible is clear that once we've made a decision to follow Christ, it's important that we let others know. And so in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. And as soon as we start singing, you meet me down front and you let me know that you've surrendered your life to Christ. If God is leading you to join this church family, then we invite you to partner with us as we try to reach our community for Him. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Your work in our life. And God, we know as believers that it's so easy for us to put on a mask. It's so easy for us to pretend. We say one thing and we do something else. Father, we have to know this morning that You hate the hypocrisy that You find in us. So Father, we just invite You this morning, expose it. That God, as we draw near to You, that You would make us aware of any pocket in our life where there is a lack of integrity, where we say one thing, but we do something else. God, expose it that we may confess and repent and be made right. Father, I pray for those this morning here who are not a follower of Christ. Father, for those who've never surrendered their life to You, never turned from sin and crossed that line of faith, Lord, I pray that today, by the drawing of Your Holy Spirit, that they would be aware of their need for a personal relationship with You. God, for those whom You're leading to join this church family, we pray that the power of Your Spirit would be at work in our midst. And Father, we pray that nothing would hinder Your Spirit as You move in our lives and as You move in this place. It's in the powerful name of Jesus that we ask these things. Amen.